Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast for March the 7th, 2022. We join you again this week, and in truth, you may be hearing some of the same things that we talked about on last week's podcast, but the thing is it's still relevant information, and it's such a dynamic and changing market that we continue to see so far in 2022 that we really feel like that it's not a bad thing to come back and rehash some of the things we've talked about, but then continue to focus on those things as they continue to evolve, really. So it's important to keep an eye on them. And the big thing that we talked about last week was looking for confirmation. We saw some of the U.S. equity indices, especially last week, return to buy signals. But as we look at today's action, we actually look at the default chart of the S&P 500. And that has now fallen back to a sell signal with Monday's action. It breaks that double bottom there at 4270, returning it to a sell signal after it just briefly popped back up and you broke that double top there at 4390. So to say we are continuing to see choppiness might be an understatement. But it is one of those things that, again, confirmation is going to be the name of the game. And that's what we continue to look for through indices as well as the indicators. Generally speaking, the indicators are still holding up, although we're seeing the indexes move to sell signals with today's action. We did want to touch on the fact that we saw quite a few of the bullish percents, even those broad market bullish percents like the optionable and the NYSE, reverse back into a column of X's with last week's action. Currently, the bullish percent for the NYSE sits at 42%. And suggesting we're seeing increased participation to the upside. But when we look elsewhere within some of the indicators right now, we also see that there are a couple of 10 weeks that reverse down following Friday's action. And one of the ones that we wanted to at least bring to your attention is the 10-week for the S&P Mid-Cap 400. That symbol is going to be caret TWSPMID. And also the 10-week for the S&P 600 reverse down following Friday's action. As many are aware, those indicators are very active. They can swing quickly. And so not too surprising with a negative day on Friday that we saw those reverse down, but we've still not seen those broader market bullish or those broader market 10-week indicators like that of the 10-week for the NYSE or 10-week for optionable reverse down as of yet. But again, we want confirmation with these indices as well as these indicators, and we want those things to show that we're continuing to see increased upside participation. But today's action has been primarily driven by a lot of geopolitical tensions that we continue to see transpiring through markets due to the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. So it's something that the big conversation I think we were having is before we even hit record to do this was the fact that it is just wild to see how volatile crude oil prices are right now. And, You know, they opened up last night. I think I saw a point they opened up or at least in one of our chats earlier, they opened up at 129 and then hit 130. And then I came in this morning, was looking at it, and they were back down to 116. And it's volatility and chop right now is all we're pretty much going to hear us talk about through this call. And that's really where we're seeing a lot of those reverberations transpire through the market as crude continues to be volatile. But again, you know, within the crude oil space and even within commodities broadly speaking, there's been a lot of breadth of improvement. And much of that, as you know, we've hit on in some of our reports over the past week, has just been that volatility in commodity prices. But it's been a lot of volatility to the upside. So it's been good volatility, if you will. I know, Tuz, you mentioned earlier that it was pretty crazy watching wheat prices last week. And that continues to be something that continues to be volatile as well. But we did briefly, before we dive into more of another volatility confirmation or another volatility conversation, not confirmation. I have confirmation on the mind. But before we dive further into that conversation of really where we're seeing volatility within equities and particularly rates, we did want to just briefly note that we did see and we continue to see that breadth of improvement in commodities. And when you look at the asset class group scores page, we actually see that precious metals, while it was the laggard group within commodities, has now joined the party, if you will, or the upper echelon of those high scoring groups within the asset class group scores page and joining many of the commodities groups scoring there above four. But there's also one sector in particular, and I think this is the one that the Tesla is going to talk about quite a bit, and it's been financials. It's one that's hung in there, generally speaking, through a lot of this, the beginning of the year chop that we've seen. But it's also been one that you continue to need to monitor. And that's really something that I know Tuz keeps a lot of an eye on. And that's going to be a lot of his talking points today, is talking about rate volatility and a lot of the financials and what's going on there.
Yeah. And they go hand in hand, both of the stories, with rate volatility as well as financials. Late 2020 is sort of a backstory. We really saw financials start to kick off as rates started to increase a bit. We started to see some more signs of inflation at that point in time, which proved to be, not really transitory, more longer lasting than we expected. And that strength in financials continued from late 2020 until pretty much earlier this year, up until just a couple of weeks ago. Part of the reason we've seen that is due to the rate volatility, and rate expectations have changed drastically due to the geopolitical tensions that we're seeing right now. Most market participants were expecting rates to increase around 50 basis points just 2 or 3 weeks ago from the Fed meeting this March. Now it's pretty much going to be 25 bips, and there's a lot of speculation that the Fed will be much more timid in raising rates in front of these geopolitical tensions, as well as concerns for heavy tightening where you have a poor economic background, where you have crude oil prices through the roof, you have food prices increasing due to wheat, which hit limit up multiple times. And we can really contextualize the rate volatility by looking at the MOVE index, which is essentially the VIX for Treasury futures. It looks at the 2, 5, 10, and 20-year futures there. And like the VIX, looks at the option implied volatility there. And that MOVE index is currently at 130, which is the highest level it's been since March of 2020. So while we're seeing, the VIX at elevated levels, it's been hovering around 30 for the past week. We've, even seen more volatility on the fixed income and rate side. Just for an example, the 10-year yield was above 2% last week or 2 weeks ago, and it's now around 1.7%, which is a huge pullback in rates, as long as the changing expectations. And one of the more interest rate sensitive groups does happen to be financials, as well as more in particular banks. We've seen some of those charts really start to break down. A lot of the big names, JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, really started to weaken up, moved into negative trends recently. And we also see Bank of America today, for example, which had been the bellwether, the leader of the whole group. That is down roughly a little over 5% as we're recording this at around 11 o'clock Eastern time. So a lot of weakness in that group. And one of the issues with that as well is that's been one of the strongest groups that we've seen on the platform, either where we're going with our Dolly rankings, where currently resides in second place. We'll see if it can hang on to there or not. And then on the asset class group scores page, the financial sector had been the leader for a very long time until energy came along. It was still able to hang as one of the leaders, but we really start to see that score deteriorate over the last week and a half. And then even today, when you're looking at XLF, which is the broad spider financial select fund, we saw that break a triple bottom today during intraday action, marking a second consecutive sell signal. The first time it's been on consecutive sell signals since 2020. So a lot of shifting of expectations, which has changed rate volatility quite a bit, and also changes the picture for financials in particular. And, moving out into more US style oriented, we saw large cap growth has really taken a beating because a lot of market participants were expecting higher interest rates, and value was doing pretty well. Now we see financials weakening a bit here, which does make up a large portion of a lot of those value funds. So that's something to also keep an eye on. Even though energy's done really well, that makes up a really small portion of the S&P 500 overall, as well as basic materials have done pretty well in the face of rising inflation. But again, that's not a big portion of the S&P 500. So when you see groups like large growth or technology in particular, as well as financials starting to weaken, it does paint a pretty bleak picture for domestic equities, unless they can find some firmness or a bid here soon.
Well, and that sort of leads back to the conversation that we started off with and even talked about last week a little bit, was looking for that confirmation. And we sort of saw initial signs of it last week, but then it's starting to fall apart a little bit here. And that for us is going to be big to continue to monitor those charts. And actually looking at one chart you were talking about rates, I pulled up the chart of the 10-year, and it is interesting to see that it keeps holding support there at 1.7 and has rebounded off of that trend line there. So something for the true point and figure purist, that, you know, that trend line being like a wall, if anything, that it's bouncing off of and ultimately is holding support. And actually reversed up today looking on its chart. But when we see how all this is impacting U.S. equities, it brings us, like I said earlier, back to that confirmation story and looking for further confirmation. And right now we began to see it, but it's beginning to wane a little bit. So keeping an eye on those indicators, especially the bullish percents, and especially keeping an eye on the index charts for those key support levels that we continue to monitor, are going to be important as we move through this week and sort of into the middle of March here. It is something that, as always, we'll continue to bring these to your attention, but it is also prudent to have your own process and understanding and looking through many charts, because we are a team of analysts, but we may not be looking exactly what you look at every day. So it's something to be prudent in having your own process and looking through charts in the morning. So believe that will be it for us this week. We wanted to keep this podcast fairly short and wanted to really kind of hit on some of the things we talked about last week. Also bring to your attention that really seems to be financials are breaking down quite a bit after being a leading group. And historically, a group that does well in rising rate environments is now breaking down. So it's interesting to see all these cross currents, if you will, but we're going to continue to probably see some of those cross currents occur until we maybe get into a better situation where we get some of that confirmation that we've been talking about. But as always, we appreciate you joining us this week, and stay tuned next week for our next podcast. We'll also have videos coming up on this Wednesday where we will do our roundtable and dive really into what we've seen transpire even more so in many areas of the market. So again, thanks for joining us this week, and hope everyone has a nice start to their week.